The Lord is good. Once again, let's declare the word of understanding as we begin to study. One, two, let us go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of it, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know, I just felt anointed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, blessing has come to you again today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Understanding is your portion again in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord will speak to you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I'm saying this evening is looking for who to talk to again. The Lord does not always find what He's looking for. It's our duty to supply many things that He's looking for. He said, I sought for a man that will stand in the gap between me and these people. What did He say? I did not find. That's why He shouted at the time, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Are you getting my point? Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Can you believe that? That was not a joke. He doesn't act drama. Somebody, and Isaiah looked. This is how it was. Ah. Nobody's talking. He had to shout, ah, I'm here. If you don't mind, can I do the job? Here I am. Send me. I preach a message like that in my code. I call it God is recruiting. God makes you for a purpose, then He has to now recruit you. Doesn't compel you to do what He wants you to do. No. He asks you to come with Him. You know, He couldn't have done to Mary. Mary was just going on the road. Ah. What's going on in my stomach? Stomach will just be bulging. Then one day she just delivered. I say, what happened? I don't know. I'm as surprised as you are. No. An angel had to come to talk to her. Are you getting my point here? God loves to talk to people. He loves to recruit people. He doesn't always find what He's looking for. I'm trying to say. So it's your duty and mine to supply what He's looking for. That's how He created us. Someone is looking for a prophet. Somebody has to agree. Even though He made us to be prophets. So are you getting my point? And so what I'm trying to say this evening, you have to make your heart, your ears, one that He can talk to. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
There are many people who are deaf to Him. They go to church, but they don't listen to Him. As a matter of fact, you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, most people who go to church don't listen to God. I don't want to give you statistics now, but you can't. Anyway, let me not go there. Most people don't. And God is looking for, who can I talk to? Who will listen to me? You know, Isaiah said what? Here I am, do what?
Send
me. That's when He said, who will He send? I want to give you a minute to pray. Say, here I am, talk to me. Yeah, it's an important prayer. This evening, God wants to talk to somebody. Just say, here I am, Lord, talk to me. Here I am, Lord, talk to me. I open my heart, I open my ears, talk to me. Lead me in the path of righteousness. Show me what is wrong that I'm doing. Show me what is right that I'm supposed to do. Show me the future that I'm supposed to walk towards. Show me something. Talk to me. Talk to me. Correct my heart. Correct my thoughts. Correct the things that I'm doing. Open, you know, just, you need to volunteer. That's how it is. You need to volunteer. That's why I say, who shall we send? Who will go for us? Who shall we send? In the same manner, I'm looking for who to speak with. Who can I talk to? Who will listen to me? Who can I talk to? That's what He says. Who will listen to me? Who will open his heart that I may pour my words into the person's heart? Behold, He says, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. He wants to talk to somebody. That message was not preached to unbelievers. I'm at the door of your heart. It was to a church.
Yes.
You know, it was a church. People think that we used to preach it to unbelievers. God is standing at the door of your heart. No. He wrote the letter to a church. Can you believe God? Jesus came to a church and is knocking. Say, somebody should open. Say, Lord, my heart is open. Say, Lord, I hereby turn the doorknob and I open the door and I say to you, come in again this evening. Come in again this evening. Talk to me. Change my heart. You know, it's important. We used to say that Christian, you know, your heart is your spirit. It has been renewed. Lie. It's not true. You have a spirit inside you, I know. The spirit of Christ inside you, but your heart can be renewed. Yes, it is the seat of your desires, the seat of your thoughts. That's why the word has to come and divide between, you know, dividing things that are inside there, separating light from darkness. Say, Lord, talk to me. Separate my light this evening from my darkness. Separate my light from my darkness. Many times we are mixed. That's the problem. And that's why God keeps on bringing us to places like this, getting us to listen. I was listening overnight and this morning to Derek Prince teach some things. I said, my God, see the word of God. So beautiful. And he was talking about God's excellence. Ah, I said, my Father. That is, I said, no, we need to do everything excellently. God was changing my heart, changing my heart, changing my heart. Say, Lord, talk to me this evening. Show me areas where I need to be more excellent. Show me areas where I need to be more excellent. The prince said something. He said, the worst offenders are those with little gifts. Ah, I said, my Father, this is a serious matter. He said, the man that they gave one talent was the one that buried it. The man that they gave 10 didn't bury it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. My little talent I refuse to use. Are you getting my point? Some say, if I'm TV preaching, I will preach. God said, hey, classroom, that's what I expect you to preach. Oh. Yeah, yeah. The prince said, it is those that have little talents that are most unfaithful. Say, Lord, today, teach me faithfulness in the matter of my talents. Yes. How I use my time. It's very important. Say, Lord, talk to me this evening. Oh, let's pray some more. Say, Lord, talk to me. Talk to me. I have not come here just to be seen. I have not come here to bank the register. Somebody say, how many of you went for Bible study? I put up my hand. No. I want you to talk to me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak to me. That's why you are here. Speak to me. Say, Lord, that's why I have come. Speak to me. Holy Spirit, Jesus gave you so you might speak to me. Speak to me today. Oh, that's the most important prayer we should pray in this season. Say, Lord, talk to me. The Lord is looking for who to talk to. Say, here I am, Lord. Speak with me. As a result of that, just describe that word again. Say, now I declare. And let's go together. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of it, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. Please greet somebody as you sit down. Tell the person you are very wise.
You are very wise.
Tell somebody else you are very, very wise. Yeah, tell somebody else you are very wise. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, we are going to stand up again, please. Not now, I'll tell you when to stand. What we want to do with the standing is to read the word of God together. T.D. Jakes has that habit. Normally in his church, they stand for the reading of the word. We started looking at the most important prayer last school of prayer here, as last time. And that's what we want to go on again into today. The most important prayer. And we're looking at that from Psalm 119. And I would like, we're going to read that again today. But before we go on, I want to just remind us again. And you see why this prayer is crucial. You cannot pray effectively unless you understand the purpose of God. That statement is very important. There's no prayer that's effective if it's not in line with God's purpose. God didn't put out on the earth to originate ideas and thoughts so that He can bring them to pass. No. That's why Jesus taught a crucial line in His prayer. Thy will be done. Very important. On earth as it is written, as it is recorded in heaven. That's what it is. Our prayer is to establish what God really wants to do. Are you getting my point? You know, God doesn't want you to ask Him for... Sometimes you think something is good. But if God doesn't want to do it, He will tell you, don't ask about it. Yes. For example, Moses. God told Moses that you are not going to enter into the promised land. And Moses began to pray. After some time, you know what the Lord told him? Don't bring up the matter again. John said, if you see a brother committing a sin that is unto death, said, don't pray about it. Now, we're not discussing what's unto death or not unto death, but I want to let you know. John said that you can't pray about that one. Do you get my point? That's why it's very important for you to know what the Bible says you can pray about. There are things. You know, Jeremiah was praying, God, have mercy. God said, even if you like, go and wake Moses up. Add Samuel to it. I still will not listen. Why? This judgment is necessary. It's overflowing with righteousness. This judgment has been determined. At this point, I am not going to change my mind. The prayers that God answers are prayers He wanted to answer. He just needed somebody to pray it. Like we said earlier, He said, they've done things that are worthy of judgment, but I don't want to punish them. But to justify my punishing them, That is, if I won't punish them, somebody has to beg for them. So he looked for a righteous man that would beg, and there was none. So you see, if somebody had risen at that time and had begged, he would not have punished. Not because the person was so powerful, but because the person connected with what God wanted to do. Prayer can only be effective. Very important for us to understand that. Prayer can only be effective only when we have found out the will of God. That's why the next seminar we have in Port Harcourt, that's what we tagged it. How to be accurate concerning the will of God in prayer. It's very important because, you see, many people waste prayer time. Okay? Let me just say another thing. Prayer does not only... Okay, let me put it like this. It is not everything that people do using spiritual forces that actually qualify to be called prayer. It's not everything. A lot of Christians these days, they practice witchcraft. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, they practice witchcraft. A lot of people. They practice witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Ever since I quoted that scripture that stuck with me, Paul said, so to Timothy, be careful so you can save yourself and those that do what? Listen to you. So I want to save those who are listening to me. Many of these prayers people gather in churches to pray, they are practicing witchcraft. That's why a man says, anywhere they are hanging, between the heaven and the earth, I also hang between the heaven and the earth, and I fly, and I jam them. I go to your village, I crush them. That's witchcraft. I'm not kidding, no. That's pure witchcraft. One day, one of our sisters spoke with me. He said there was somebody that was disturbing her. You know? Another lady, a member of her church that time. She doesn't go to church anymore. So that one, like, counseling her, helping her, and all of that. So she now told me something. I said, that girl is a witch. She's not a Christian. Forget that thing she's doing. So she reported the guy to her. And she said that, oh, that one, I will warn him. That there's a way she will pray the prayer. Are you getting my point? And she will warn him to stop. I said, that girl is a witch. But she knew her in church. I told her straight, this girl is a witch. She's into witchcraft. The other fellow is into witchcraft. Forget this Christianity. And she was a rosary carrying, you know, looking very pious, you know, blue army. What do you call this? This would account rosary a lot in Catholic Church. Legion of Mary. She was a Legion of Mary person. I said, forget it. That girl is a witch. Both her and the guy that you said is disturbing you. All right. Forget how the guy used to harass her. You know, it was a spiritual thing. I said, both of them are practicing witchcraft. 90% of the prayers you hear Christians pray these days is pure witchcraft prayer. Altar versus altar. 9 times out of 10, you hear it, it's witchcraft. It's not Christianity. When you hear all of this, you will now put money down and you begin to declare. It's witchcraft. They do it in church. So go and listen to him. Everything he says, you see Pentecostals say it, it's pure witchcraft. Now, why am I emphasizing this witchcraft matter? It gets results. You can kill your enemy with witchcraft. But you did that witchcraft in church. I'm not joking. Your pastor was the witch doctor of the day. And believe me, your enemy will die. There's only one problem. What a man sows. Not kidding about it though. Is it smile for my face? Is it laughter for my face? Let me laugh now. No, no. Well, everything I've said so far, true. Many people are patronizing witching Christians. Christians, sometimes they are bewitched. Paul had to ask, who bewitched you? A lot of congregations, they are under mass bewitching. No, God says my heart, I'm not lying. They go to church, the whole congregation is bewitched. The guy in front has cast a spell upon them. There was one time in Nigeria, it was in the news, a man stole from his company millions of naira. And his co-workers were surprised because a nice and quiet Christian man. What was more interesting was that almost everything he took, he gave to his church. He didn't buy clothes. He didn't buy, I think they said maybe he bought a TV or something, which he could have bought from his salary. So essentially, he didn't spend anything on himself. He went to the office, stole money, took it to church, and gave it. When I heard the story, I laughed. You know why I laughed? I said, I know who bewitched him. I won't mention names just in case I'm wrong. But I just said, ah, yeah. I know who bewitched him. He was bewitched. The greatest place where people are bewitched these days are places that call themselves Pentecostal churches. People go, they can't think anymore. They can't think. They move around like zombies. Listen, those days, it used to be white garment churches. They were specialists in doing those things. I told you the story of a friend of mine who came to school and told us what was going on at home. And by the time he was done, we could almost, we're three guys, him and two other young boys on campus. We could almost in our minds paint the picture of demons running around the place. So we gathered and prayed. And we commanded all those evil spirits to get out of that house. Next day, his father woke up, as if his eyes cleared. From hundreds of kilometers away, we banned the devil to get out of the home. The next day, his father woke up, his eyes cleared, and drove away all the white garment people inside the house. They were specialists in doing it. I told you that my friend of mine, who was teaching in one of those white garment churches, I won't mention the name, you won't even know this one, because it was in Lagos. I used to go to this place in the evening because my friend was a teacher in their school and they gave him accommodation there. And we served together, me and this guy. So I used to come to his house in the evening, just go and hang out, you're not doing anything. So he would sit down, we'll go to the church hall and look. Big church, big. And one man was driving. I remember the guy was a Ghanaian. Had a brand new car, he bought his own money, businessman in Lagos. Had a decent, I didn't know the house, but they told me about it. A duplex he had in Suleri. But he didn't stay there. You know where he was staying? In that church. Every evening, he will come there and sleep on the pew and be thanking God that this church has delivered him. I said, you call this deliverance? I don't need to tell you what he does with his money. I don't have details, but I know they've gotten control of his wealth. Oh, they were specialists in doing those things. So a colleague of mine told me about somebody who had been caught by one of those churches. It pained me again. And I told her, this is my colleague, get me that man's son, or one of his adult children, or his wife. And don't take me more than 5 minutes. He will be free. But of course, she looked at me like you. I said, look, we've done these things before. Yeah, when we prayed for my friend that time, I had not hit the age of 20. It's not rocket science. It's the word of God. We can, you need to know these realms are there. It's in the realm of the spirit. You just come down. There's a hierarchy. We knew where we were. We are in Christ. So anything that's why I couldn't pray for that man because he didn't concern me. Law calls it local standing. In law, you can't, if it doesn't concern you, you can't pray about it. So the court will call you a meddlesome interloper. Did I read that word? Okay, you're a lawyer. I lie. It was one time when they were doing onshore versus offshore dichotomy. It was when I learned it. So when they got to the Supreme Court, one man got there. He said, be amicus curiae or whatever, friend of this thing. The Supreme Court just looked and said, hey, what are you doing here? By the time you finish talking, they told him, please get away, that you're a medu summit. I crammed the word, the expression. So you're a medu summit. Sometimes that's why I couldn't pray for that man because it was none of my business. In fact, I remember I told you a story when I was serving. It's one of my books. There was a woman that they brought to my clinic during my youth service. I know the woman from time because they used to bring her children down there. And she was seriously ill. She had a serious case of typhoid fever, not the ones they get in Enugu. I said, you didn't come to work. I had typhoid. You just come there. I had typhoid yesterday. What happened? The typhoid has now gone. I went to lab. The lab told me I had typhoid. You, the lab, the result. Three of you are confused in one. Don't worry, don't have typhoid. That woman had her own, all right? I was medical officer was during my youth service. So I did my best, I could. I didn't have much I could do for her. She became unconscious, her kidneys shut down, which made it difficult for me to select my drugs. We put all of those things together. And I was there deep inside the bush, I was not in Enugu. Deep somewhere in Taraba State. That was where Jonathan now went years later. Like 30 years after. Enough to 30 or just 20 years. All right, the Lord is good. Anyway, so now what I'm telling the story is that, so it really pained me when I saw this woman just passing away under my watch. So I went home to go and pray. And I prayed. I remember it took me like 40 minutes. I was in my room. spirit of death in the name of Jesus, not here. But, you know, spoke all the English I knew. But the problem was that what's my local standard? Thank you. And what was my local standard? I remember very well. I prayed. I said, this is my clinic. So you know what happened? Next day I went to work. The woman woke up from her unconsciousness. Her kidneys recovered. She passed one massive amount of urine. She woke up, her fever came down, and she told me that she spoke only Fufulde. That's Fulani language. Call it Fufulde or Furanta. So she spoke only Fufulde. So the soldier there said that. She said that she wants to eat. I said, no, she can't eat. And I was so excited. Next day, this was I prayed in the evening. By next morning, she had woken up. Kidneys had woken up. So I was going around feeling very happy, you know, dancing that this woman is recovering. I came the next day. She had disappeared. Oh, God, spiritual things are real. I still remember that day. I was so angry. The husband came around 7 in the morning and said that the Babalawo said they should bring her, send her poison. I said, jeez. I said, why didn't you call me? I just, you know, instantly, I saw Satan doing like this. That's, you know, you played in your mind's eye. Satan did like this. I'm talking about local standing. He said, it's your clinic. I've carried her to my clinic. And that was why that guy didn't have the sense to call me. It's a spiritual transaction. Short of his mind, because I was just down in the barracks there. It's the same compound. It didn't cross his mind. Say, I want to carry my wife. He said, okay, go ahead. So I just said, the woman is dead. Of course, for the end of the week, she was dead. I've told that story, I've told it many times. I've just told the story to highlight that was saying, you know, I just want to explain the issue of what? Local standing, like lawyers would say. All right? And that's why, like that story I was telling you, I needed them to get me an adult in the house who could argue that I have right in this place. All right? But of course, they didn't do that. But why I'm telling this story is about witchcraft. The witchcraft thing is real, and it's annoying because Christians practice it, and they don't realize it. Don't imagine that those who practice it go to covens alone. That's where I was going, all right? And I told that story to let them know that I've seen it. They come to the place, the people were, they were supposedly Christians. They were praying. They were fasting. But it was pure witchcraft. A lot of pastors do it. A lot of people even, they use familiar spirits to give word of knowledge. It's easy to know them. It's very, very easy to know them. You know, once you are aware these things happen, your antenna goes up. You understand? That is one, awareness. Secondly, just check the purpose of it. And then look at what it does to you. You know, I told you something before, that when this young girl in the book of Acts, prophesying, you know, following Paul and, was it Barnabas or Silas now? Silas. Yeah, when following Paul and Silas and saying that these are servants of God, why did Paul, first, her words were accurate. Why did Paul get provoked? This is what I think. You open your mouth, there is an effect it has on the people you are talking to. It's not just the words you speak. You can have a preacher that speaks bad English, he quotes scriptures out of context, in context, on context, under context, anyhow. Yet, when he's done with talking, you are lifted. You just go, hey, Jesus, hallelujah. In fact, in the beginning was the word, hallelujah. And the word said, let there be light. Oh, after 30 minutes, thinking men are wondering, what has this guy said? But you will come back next time because you are lifted. Why? The words profit nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. He just releasing a spirit that's putting life into your system. At the same time, you can find people who give accurate doctrine. Yes, they've gone to buy one Kenneth Hagin book, one faith book, memorized it, and they come, I'm deceiving everybody. Once you have discernment, you enter the place. Once the guy starts, spirit goes down. I've had those feelings before. As if you are being dragged. Have you ever had a dream in which you are trying to get up, you can't get up? Yes, you have that kind of experience in real life. You want to get up, as if your body just want to respond. You can't wait for the sermon to be over. Yet, he's quoting properly. You know, tell you John 3:16, for God so loved the world, they will sing Amazing Grace. Let us rise and sing. Let's worship the Lord. Everything they've seen done in other churches, they do those things. But the spirit is wrong. That was how, I think that's what happened. That girl opened her mouth and speak, and people just become dead in their hearing. And if you're a preacher, you know when you're talking to people that are not hearing you. Oh, yes, you will know. As if the words they have, you are using all the energy in your soul to bring out words. After you've preached for 15 minutes, you're so sure that it's 3 hours. Or let me be like this. You've preached for like 3 hours. You are sure you have spoken for 3 hours. For the amount of drain in your system, you look at your watch, only 15 minutes is over. Why? The people are, what you call it, their hearts were heavy. They are hard of hearing. Spirits can do that to people, dead in their ears. So you get some of those places, it's easy to know. It's easy to know. Just the man, in fact, there's one man, I won't mention his name, many of you know him in towns. Pictures are everywhere. One of our brothers was saying the other day, they said, first they saw the man, they were talking about him. Very popular in Enugu at the time. He said, the moment he entered the place, he listened to the man give 2 words of knowledge. And he just told the person beside him, this guy is obviously using familiar spirits. Can't they see it? And oftentimes those prophecies do nothing but feed their pockets. As I was coming this morning, the Lord said to me that there's one woman, you're coming here, and said, this morning you're going to give 1 million. Are you the woman? Yes. You will get your car right. Get what happened to your house right. Get everything right. Your husband said, why are you going to church so late this morning? Everything that happened, he will tell it to you. He said, the Lord said you are giving 1 million this morning. It always ends there. The Lord is good. I'm supposed to be preaching Psalm 119, right? We'll get there. But I'm going to say, so Christian, you find a practice, a lot of witchcraft. It's going around town. That's how they start flourishing. And then the witchcraft spirit is, look, Satan too likes money. Devil likes money too. So you find that witchcraft spirits all over the place, you get to where there's plenty of money. Kemute's hometown, a lot of them there. Worry. Because that used to be this, you know, oil money was plenty in Worry. Until the militants drove everybody away. So they fooled there. They fooled Port Harcourt, Lagos, and Abuja too. I like the ones that tell you, my name is Papa Jumbo, the Ubuntarigi of spiritual operation. 10 million naira for political office, 5 million naira for local government, 32 million to be junior prophet. I like those kind of people. Do you know why? There's no lie in it. You see him wearing his white and red like Guru Maharaj. He's there all red and roses. You know this one is a spiritualist. Understand? He's a spiritist. He's not deceiving you. I like people like that. You know why? You mind your business, I mind my business. Those who want to follow you, it's a free country. I like Nigeria. You can be a Muslim, you can be a Hindu, a Christian, or like two of my classmates will say, we don't believe in God. You can be a Christlam, you can be a Hab, then you can be a Christlam Hab. I like Nigeria. So anyone you choose, it doesn't concern me. But when you now enter and say, in Jesus' name, honestly, God will have to punish you. It's annoying. Those are the ones that I just said, God, you have to shut them up. My teaching, actually, all right? My teaching, okay, is for you to bear in mind that you have to be careful you don't join those witchcraft prayers. That's what I'm saying. You have to be careful that you don't join all those witchcraft prayers. How do you know them? Listen to me. Once they remove your focus from the devil as your enemy and put on a human being, it's witchcraft prayer. Are you getting my point? Yes. Once everything is caused by somebody, because the Bible identifies only one enemy that we all have. Your adversary, your neighbor. All right, that's what he said. Your adversary, the devil. He didn't say your adversary, your neighbor. So once they start pointing fingers, once they start mentioning father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, uncle-in-law, uncle, are you getting my point? Once they start rejoicing in the death of a human being, watch out. You are dealing with witchcraft now. Once you are getting up and spiritually directly confronting people, it's witchcraft. Listen, the way God expects our own prayers to be, he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. So that's the thing. Once your prayer is centered around the word of God, that's what purifies it. Be careful. Many people, a lot of those white garment churches those days, they were doing animal sacrifices and calling it Christianity. It's called shamanism. It is not Christianity. I try to emphasize to people that those things actually work. If you are talking about results, they work. You can do sacrifice and kill somebody. You can. That's what Balaam used to do. So you have to be careful. They work. If you go to any place, they say that, okay, when you're coming next time, you know, they start telling doing fetish things. Get away. That's witchcraft they are practicing. What is that giving you time of the night when you are supposed to pray? It's witchcraft. You know, for 7 days you rise between 12 and 1 and face the east and say this is witchcraft. Just forget it. I don't care how they look. The witches of these days, those witch doctors, they don't paint cowrie again because they know you go to church, you won't come. So you know what they do? They wear a suit. So fine clothes. When you see the guy, you see his necklace, you see everything on him, he looks touche. Are you getting my point? No? One fine guy like this. Honestly, if you don't follow him for his prophecy, follow him for him because he's handsome. So people, they follow the guy. I watched him on TV once. I just told myself, look, he said, who are you to judge? I'll tell you why, who I am to judge. I am the person who God sent to go and teach people. So I must tell the truth. I saw this guy on TV. I told my wife, this guy is a joker. This is what he was doing. Get up. Say, you, your light is supposed to shine. It's not shining. Why? Your village people. Your uncle, say your light will not shine. You're supposed to be a light, shining. Your light is coming forth. It's over. Then go to the next person. The next person will come. His name, I told my wife, this guy is a joker. Oh, you, your uncle doesn't want you to succeed. Your uncle doesn't want to succeed. You have an auntie. She's right now hanging between the earth and the heaven. Right now, it's over. Bah, push that one again. It's a nonsense and ingredients. Forget this. Christians will just, you know, people will be in pure witchcraft. Some of them see visions. Familiar spirits are present. What is the safety? Listen to me. Don't follow anybody because of those stories they have to tell. Follow them for the way they lead you to righteousness. That's it. If anybody tells you he saw in the vision that your aunt is hanging between heaven and earth and is fighting your destiny, he's a liar. I don't care who he is, he's lying. So what if my auntie is hanging? Anyone that's hanging will die. Are you getting my point? Okay, let me get serious. What if your auntie is hanging? That's her problem. People can hang anywhere. It's a free country. My preaching is that why should it affect you? If indeed you were dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you should be abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. So whoever is hanging anywhere should not have been your problem. I just said that people practice witchcraft. I'm not telling that people practice witchcraft. I said so. They do. But how is it my business? How I'm living my life? Like I said the other time, if my wife is pregnant about to deliver, and somebody is hanging between heaven and earth because of her, you'll be hanging for a very long time. I won't pray about you. Because one thing is that your position, astrologically and astronomically and geographically and elevationally cannot affect the progress of my life. You hang where you are. Where you won't hang rich, self. Think on yourself. You say, check out. Where you won't hang rich, where you rich, where I did. My life is hid with Christ in God. I am seated in heavenly places far above all hangers and powers. If you like, hang on power line. That's your problem. You know, really, it doesn't affect me. So that is why the prophet has to be really blind to be focusing my eyes on you. Is it because you are not hanging? Oh boy, hanging is free. I like Nigeria. Hanging is free. If I like Fela in that area, you know, Fela can be very prophetic. You know what Fela said? He said, if you like, you hang. If you hang, you will die. He said, now this is the point I like about Fela's prophecy. He said, you will die for nothing. He said, they will carry your body to the police station for dying wrongfully. So people hanging between heaven and earth, what's my problem? You hang anywhere you like. It's a free country. Just don't hang in my airspace. Because by law, the airspace on my land, to some level, is my own. You're hanging in your hometown because of me. Believe me, you're going to be hung for a long time. So any prophet that comes and says, Pastor Banky, as we're praying, we saw people hanging because of you. I'm not angry yet, though. I'm waiting for you to finish. As when I saw them falling down one by one and scattering, I said, you saw well. But if I said that, so what you are going to do now, you two, you are going to hang and jam them. Me? Hang, jam. I don't have work to do. Listen, let's not get into this witchcraft thing. We are Christians. If you have enemies, should you pray about them? You should. You know, it's very important. Don't let these people kill you for nothing. You pray about them. How do you pray about them? Say, Lord, have mercy on them. Let them repent too. See, as I'm free, why can't they be free too? Did you not die for them too? Have mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. That is how to pray about your enemies. Why? You're not afraid. You quote that scripture, it will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's what you handle. That's how you handle it. I say to them, die, 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 die. Leave me, you are somebody's enemy too. And both of you are in the same church. Trust me. The Lord is good. I was supposed to get to our message. Why are we always talk on this thing? Oh God. So please bear that in mind. Let's not play witchcraft prayers, please. Let's not. Let's pray the word of God. Like I said, prayer is supposed to be what? What God wants to do. That's what we are looking at. What he wants to do. And he told us the most, very important, listen to this. The most important that he's doing is just like he did in Jesus. Listen to this. He said, in the beginning was, that's John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the word, and then the word was God. And then the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now that is the summary of God's purpose. The word becoming flesh in your life. That's the summary. If he says anything, let me give an example now. Psalm 92, talking about aging. I quote that all the time. Romans chapter 8, talking about the influence of the resurrection power of Christ. Those two verses of scripture, you get my point? You apply both of them. Now, that tells you something, that the law of the spirit, that the law of sin and death, which undermines the quality of life that God has given us as his creatures, okay, has been removed in Christ Jesus. That's the word. Are you getting my point? So the word becomes what? Flesh. So when I want to pray, my prayer therefore is that that same word must become flesh in my life. So as I'm growing older, I set my mind on that word becoming what? Flesh. It's a process. It's a fight. That's what they call fighting the good fight of faith. I want the word to become what? Flesh. Why do I pray about healing? Not because I just love to be well. You see that as we go on Psalm 119. He said, give me, you know, he said, revive me, make me live so I can obey your word. Why do I pray about healing? There are things he has said about the healing that Jesus paid for. He took our infirmities. By his stripes, we have been healed. Are you getting my point? Now, if I am not well, I will not be able to fulfill the purpose of God for my life. So I have two things in there. That's what my prayer is about healing. Is if indeed I have been forgiven in Christ, if indeed my sicknesses have been nailed to the cross, then it becomes, it's not about those who don't want me to succeed. That's your problem. You know, I keep on saying, don't worry about those things. My prayer now is that this word will become what? Flesh in my life. So I'm listening to these words. I'm jealous for the word of God. I'm jealous for his word. I said, no, this is what he's spoken here. This was what the Lord wrote. So my prayer is now, the word become flesh. This word become flesh in my life. That is what primarily prayer is about. It's just to establish what God has recorded in heaven. You are getting the point I'm making here? Very important. It's to establish what he has recorded in heaven. So now let's now read Psalm 119. That's why we're in Psalm 119. To see, before we start reading it again, let me just go over a number of things. Like I said, we will stand to read. This will explain something. So the word of God has different aspects. We just took like five of them and just picked some important words, even though they may, often may be used differently in some translations. We said number one, there's what? The promise. The promises of God are reflected as thy word. You see him say, according to thy word, revive me according to thy word, you know. Let thy word to thy servant, you know, stuff like that. That's the promises. Then we're talking about what? The precepts. What are precepts? Precepts are divine principles. They are principles that just, for example, whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. That's a precept. He that disobeys his father, his mother, drives away his mother, drives away his mother, his lamb will go out in the time of... That's a precept. So we learn some spiritual principles. You are getting my point here. Then we talked about what? Commandments. Commandments are simply commandments. Thou shalt not do this. Usually commandments are mostly negative. What I mean is that don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Okay, sometimes thou shalt. Then again, we now talked about what? Testimonies. What are testimonies? They are personalized commandments. Things that apply to you that you just discovered from working with God. Just said, no, I can't do this. He said, there's nothing wrong with it. He said, maybe for you. But for me, the Lord will not accept me doing that. Like I was talking with a friend of mine today. He said, look, Banky, this one works. I've invested in Bitcoin and I'm watching on the... He said, look, this one is not like MMM. So I turned to my other colleague. Now, this is the interesting part. The guy talking to me is a professor. The one on my left is a professor. So I turned to the other professor. I said, look at this joker. Arguing on what he does not know and telling me he's genuine. You did that. He said, the person who told me is from America. I said, it is a thief, not the America. That's what I told him. I said, you don't think there are crooks in America? I said, where was Bernard Madoff that stole 30-something billion dollars? He said, okay, sure. I said, you see the way they've convinced you? So I turned to the guy on my left. I said, do you see this other guy telling me that this thing? Yeah. He said, I said, you know what? They have deceived you too. I said, let me tell you the truth. No, he was not telling me that. Look, okay, if he walks out, Shebi, you will say, I've told you too, you will join. I said, no, he's a believer. I said, my guy, you know the way the Lord deals with us. I said, the way he has dealt with me is that once I go because the money is quick, the thing will crash because of me. I said, so be enjoying your free money. If I enter your boat, my name is Jonah. I told him, I said, once I enter that boat, the whole thing will come crumbling down. I said, so please, just don't invite me to the boat. I am Jonah. Let me be going to Nineveh. If I face Tarshish, enter your boat, all the money you have made is sinking. You know? But I said, meanwhile, my brother, yeah, they've deceived you. Now, why I told that story is that, I told him, I said, you can go on, no problem with it. I said, but I am forbidden from doing something purely because it makes money. Talking about what? Testimonies. And we're not talking about, of course, ordinances, like Catholics will talk about sacraments. Ordinances are physical things we do that reflect a spiritual thing. Are you getting my point? So there are different aspects of the Word of God. Now, we'll go back to read that Psalm 119. Now, another thing I want to bring out is as we go on, you will see something. David will say something like this. I have done this. Are you getting my point? Now, when you are praying like David, you may find out that you can't say that boldly. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You may find out that you cannot say that boldly. I have done this. I have established this. You will see as we go on. You know what that means? It is simple. It is a point of what? Repentance. When you get to a point, you are reading something, you cannot say that boldly. Now, please listen to this. We are talking about the most important prayer. I went to all of the evidence at the beginning to let you know that let's not waste time in prayers that don't matter. I talked about witchcraft prayer, right? I believe it was just a word of God for some people here today. But the other prayers are beyond witchcraft prayer, which are legitimate prayers, but Jesus doesn't want us focusing on them. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? God, I need a new job. I need a new car. He doesn't even like hearing much about such things. You're supposed to do those things to dismiss them off your mind. Prayer point that's focused on what you need is supposed to be what? Dismissive. How do I know? Read the Bible in as a whole. You'll find out that Paul said that when you pray effectively on things that are on your heart and your mind that are disturbing you, what is it God will give you? The peace of God. He didn't guarantee that that thing will come immediately. We did not preach our faith well, in which you say, like, if you just need a car, just tell the Lord, this is a car, and I need it to be blue, and I need the blue to be bluish, and I need it to be turquoise, and then I need it to be made in 2018 and sold in 2017. It happens, you understand? All right, they tell you 2018 model. By December, you can collect it. So you describe it, the glass has to be this way. If you were doing like that before, stop it. The Lord will be looking at you and saying, this boy is asking for what he doesn't know. Are you getting my point? Sometimes you can pray for something you don't understand. There was a car I used to like before, just as an illustration. I won't tell you the name of the car, in case you have it and you like your own. Let me not spoil it for you. I used to admire this car from a distance. in Enugu like this, you'll be passing like this. I saw see motor car. If I'm going on the road and you are driving that car, you are behind me. I see you in my mirror, I will slow down. Why? So that you get angry and do what? Overtake. Then when you overtake, I'll not be following you. Just admiring the car. I admired this car for months, for a long time. I entered it once. I said, rubbish. This is, you call this in a car. Enter gallop, what kind of rubbish is this one? And when a serious car enters gallop, you go, dugum, dugum. And you continue moving. When they close the door of a serious car, you hear, tum. And they look at you, bang. Close door of a car. What kind of rubbish is that? You know that kind of thing? You're just wondering. Say, what kind of thing is this? You know, a car that I've loved for months. One drive. Next time I see it on the road, I became angry. That's why I say all this specified for God. God knows some things you don't know. Listen, I know what I'm telling you. The Lord knows a lot of things you don't know. There are people listening to me. They've been praying for visa. God said, that visa if I give you is bondage. If you pray more, I will bring it. And don't ask me for deliverance. There are many of your friends that took visa, they've gone. You know why you haven't seen them? You can't see them. They can't afford to come and see you. They don't even want you to see them. Especially those ones that were doing business back home, or they had a decent job, they were just patching, life was going on bit by bit, you understand? They were not the richest men in town, but at least they had something to do on a daily basis. The house is not their own, but they are not owing the landlord. You understand? The car is not brand new, but it works. And they are productive. They did someone and say, once you just get, you just reach there like this. First, he arrived in that country on a visiting visa. You know that? Visiting visa. Once your visa expires, you don't go back home. You are a refugee. You are an illegal alien. Is it alien they call them? Is it immigrant? Actually, it's not alien. You are an alien. Are you not an alien? And you are illegal in one way or the other. Which means you can't get a decent job. And they start calling you. What can I sell? Say, what do you want to sell? We are selling it already. Don't worry. What do you want to say that we are not selling? After 2 years, 3 years, some people, look, God helps them. Before it's too long. Once it reaches 5, 6 years, you can't come again. You're stuck. Some just get up and say, oh boy, I'm going home. After that, when they arrive home. And of course, in 3 years after he comes back, it's as if he never left in the first place. God has reestablished him because he was humble enough to say I was wrong. What am I going to say? When it comes to what we need, we don't stick on it. We pray prayers of what? Dismissal. Let your request be known unto God. Paul said, when your request is made known unto God, what happens? The peace of God that passes all understanding now guards your heart. What does that mean? Sometimes, in answer to your prayer, God makes it clear to you, you don't need what you are looking for. And that's answer. That's answer to prayer. You are so insistent that God, after some time, you know, there were Bibles those they wanted to kill ourselves to buy. They wanted somebody just dash to use this Bible. Expensive Bibles. Use it for 3 months, nothing inside it. In quote, not what it has. Okay? Sometimes that's how it solves problems. Now, I want you to just understand, why am I saying that? So that he doesn't want us to stick on those things. This is what I require, this is what I need, this is what I need, this is what I need. No. Let him work out your life in his own seasons. I hope you're getting my point here. Very important, okay? So, now, what am I saying? So, prayers of witchcraft, no. Prayers of personal need, light. It must be what? Dismissive. What kind of prayer are we supposed to pray? The most important prayer is that fits us into the Word of God. Because fitting yourself into God's Word is an effort. Not a physical effort. You exert that effort in the place of what? Prayer. You know, I was watching this man the other day again. My children, I don't know where they got the DVD from. They started watching the story of Ben Carson. The life of Ben Carson. Some of you may have seen the movie. But I watched a part in which, out of anger, he picked up something to hit his mother. But good enough, his brother Curtis was there and that one grabbed him. Shortly after, a friend of his annoyed him. Without thinking, he took a knife and sank into the boy's stomach. But he used so much force, okay? And God wanted to save his life and that boy's life. He made the knife hit the buckle of the boy's belt. He hit it and he used so much force, the blade broke. That anger was going to destroy his life. So what did he do? He went home to do what? To pray. For a few hours, he was inside the closet. If you read the book. By the time he came out, the Spirit of God had worked upon him that he got a new nickname later, Gentle Ben. So anger has taken possession of your soul. It's going to destroy your destiny. You've heard this kind of testimony. Is it time to be praying for a new pair of shoes? No. You need the spiritual force to kill anger in your life. There are many people that covetousness, every time they release a new phone you have bought, you should know that you are buying your destiny away bit by bit. You don't have money. You've just been buying things anyhow. You can't just say, I won't buy again. You go and pray. That's what we are saying. You go home and go and what? You go and pray. And you deliver yourself. That's the primary thing. The primary thing about prayer is to conform ourselves with the word of God. Let's rise to our feet. I've spoken quite at length. I want us to read from today. What we're going to do is that we'll read that Psalm 119. Let's open our Bible to that Psalm 119. Now, we're going to read them. How do we normally do it? I read one verse, read the next one. We're going to verse 48. From verse 9, then we're going to verse 48. I will read one. Everybody will read the next one when I've read the first one, all right? If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
If you love the word, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm starting from verse 9, then you read 10. How can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it? That is, the question is, how can a young man keep his way pure? Or a young person, how can he stay pure? He said, by keeping it according to your word. Verse 10. Oh, my heart, I have sought you. Can you see that? That's a prayer. We have a question in verse 9. Then in verse 10, we have what? A prayer. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Now, I want us to do something. Let's read that again. This time around, you're not reading David, you are praying. Like I said earlier, if you have realized you have not been seeking with all your heart, so that you cannot say it like David. It's a point of what? Repentance. It's a point of repentance. It's a point of repentance. So let's take a minute before we read further. Just a minute, everybody. Just a few seconds. Just say, Lord, I come with my whole heart, I will seek you. So that I can say boldly like David, that with all my heart, I have sought you. Now let's read that verse 10 again together. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Now look at verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Like I said, once David says something, you quickly do introspection. What does it mean to treasure the word of God in your heart? Simply means that anything that you have heard, said, you try your best to do what? Remember it. That's what it means. That is what it means. That anytime something is spoken, I come here today, I hear something preached. I came today now, I heard them preach about your enemies are not your problems. The devil is the problem. Resisting him is the main issue. Stop praying prayers of witchcraft. Next time you hear prayers of witchcraft, tell yourself, no, I'm not a witch. I'm not joining them. That's what it means that I have kept your word, I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. That's a prayer. Let's read it again as a prayer. This time around, you're not reading David, you are praying. One, two, let's go. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Verse 14, now I want to read verse 13 to you in New Living Translation. If you have it, you'll see it. He said, I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. That is what they call meditation. To put the word of God on your lips. Like I said, if David says something and you have not been doing it, it's a point of what? Repentance. That's what the Lord is saying, is that, listen, oh boy, for you to be able to talk to me effectively in prayer, remember to do these things that David said he did. That is, henceforth, you will recite the word. Put it upon your lips and recite it all the time. He now said verse 14. Let's read verse 14.
I have
rejoiced in all the ways of your testimonies. As much as in all riches. The Lord is good. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Think about it for a moment. Everybody, no, let's just think about it. Are you sure you are like that? When you hear a good word, does it excite you? But when you see a lot, you fall down. No, these are real things. These are real things. If the information that, you are going on the road, bank alert, Credit alert, 125,000 naira, 720. What happened? Is it interest payment or something, or arrears of something from your office? You know, the way you dance. I remember one day like that, my wife and I just came to town. I was very, very, we were very broke. And I said, come and give a lecture to postgraduate students. You know, when I finished the lecture, the man wrapped 8,000 naira. I said, this is my honorarium for the lecture. I could not wait to get back home. Baby, we are not broke again in Jesus' name. Look at money. I still remember very well. I gave two lectures, was 4,000 naira per lecture. I knew they would give me money, but I was spending like that, kind of like like 1,500 or 1,000. So at least I should come back with like 2K. Then they give me 8K. Start dancing. What about that? They say, we should rejoice as much when we hear what? The word of God. Let's read that scripture again. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Now listen to verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. 16. Shall delight in your statutes. Shall not forget your word. No, say that again. Let's declare that again. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Let's say it one. I want to read it around I want to read from New Living Translation. Everybody read it again, verse 16. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Brethren, please take like a minute and talk to the Lord by yourself. Use your own words. Reshape this one according to your words. Lord, I will delight myself in your word. I will not forget your word. Help me not to. These are the most important prayers. This is prayer. This is prayer. Help me not to forget your word. Help me not to. Look, life, death, Satan's job is to make you forget his word. He came to Eve and said, has God really said? Forget what Adam told you he said. He came to Jesus and said, you are hungry. Jesus had to say, I have not forgotten the word of God that says, man shall not live by bread alone. Declare, look, pray like you are serious. Say, Lord, I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. As we are praying, I'm going to read verse 17. David said, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Verse 18, let's read it together. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Verse 17 says, he said, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. What was he saying? The purpose of life, like I was saying earlier, is to express the word that is written. Yes. That's it. And what was he saying? He said, in answer in verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Before we leave, I'm going to comment on that. Because one of the things that people don't realize is the commandments of God are not grievous. They are for our own good. But if you don't have understanding, you will think that this Christianity is a religion of thou shalt not. No. Let's pray it again. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Now, verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Verse 20. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Verse 19 was saying that you don't have a map on this earth if you don't have the commandments of God. Are you getting my point? Bring a man from Australia, toss him in Enugu, he's lost. You get my point? But what's the word of God? Google map. What's the word of God? GPS. That's what is happening. The word of God is a guide for life. Look, listen, how am I supposed to relate with you as a person? The truth is that I don't know unless God tells me. How do I live with my customers? The truth is that I don't know unless God tells me. How do I relate with the government of my country? The truth is that I don't know unless the word of God reveals it. That was why David said, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Help me to navigate the issues of life by telling me how it's supposed to be done. Every other way is wrong. Do you understand that? Let's read it together, verse 19. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Verse 20 again, together. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. That is, if you read New Living Translation, it says that I'm always overwhelmed with a desire to know your regulations. Remember, the different stages of life's adventures. The first one is what? Sit down and count. In that, you come out with the wisdom for salvation. So the things that, Lord, I'm running ministry. Teach me how to do it. That's what David is saying. Listen, these are the prayers we are supposed to pray. If you are stagnant, you're on one spot, it's not any enemy. There is something you're supposed to be doing, you don't know it. Do you get my point? You just don't know it. It doesn't even mean you are wicked. You're just ignorant. One of my colleagues this afternoon, you know, because those of you who use the network I use, you understand? They were off, the net data was off for like since yesterday night or so. So I didn't realize I had not gotten my messages. So I called one of my colleagues. I said, please, what do you use? Tell me the other network you use. Is there data on it? He said, yes. Please, switch on your hotspot. Let me connect. He said, huh? I said, I want to use the tethering hotspot. I just want to check my messages. He said, sir, I don't understand that one. I said, how have you been browsing on your laptop? He said, I use modem. 2017, you use modem and you have a smartphone, an Android phone. I said, so you pay for data on your phone and pay for data on your modem. Oh, foolish Galatian. Hey, do you know, and I sat him that he now gave me his phone. It wasn't the same phone model as mine. It's another maker. So I had to navigate a bit to get to where. So I found it. I said, this is what they call. I said, okay. He was looking at me like this. I said, so that everybody won't connect to you, put a password here. So I put password for him, so I put it on, and I put the phone down, and I connected my own to it. He said, He said, ever since I bought this thing, I have not taken time to see really how it works. So I was looking at the guy, I said, this guy, are you all right? But that's life for you. We are laughing at him now. There are things about your health that you are doing wrongly. And you are praying, Lord, heal you, healing in Jesus' name. God said, listen. First, you are not sick. Let's get it clear. You are just stupid. You are not sick. Today, I said, they said this one they call ketogenic diet. I heard that one today. How many of you have heard it? Some of you will have heard it. You are diet. It is. I know you will have heard it. Give me my towel. Thank you. I heard that one today. How to try and melt the fat in your body by not eating. I said, listen. I just told the people, I said, it won't work. So I say, it never works. They never work. The Lord is good. People every day are learning wrong things. It's actually the prayer we're supposed to pray as believers is for understanding. Forget witches. They're not the ones afflicting you. For a long time, Christians were smoking. I told you last time. They were smoking. He said, cigarette, is it a sin? I said, eating poison is not a sin. Is it a sin? Good. That's cigarettes and poison, the same thing. If you think eating poison is not a sin, I don't know how you arrived at that, but let's just assume that it's not a sin. Cigarette smoking is also not a sin. Boy, you will die. If you eat poison, what thing will happen? Yeah. You see the poison you're carrying and you begin to chop. Say, what is this? I'm a Christian, I can eat poison. Just be eating. It's called thank the Lord thy God. If a Christian is smoking, he is sinning against his own body. There's sin that's against your body. Like every day I wake up in the morning, I give myself two head busts against the concrete in my wall. Bam, bam. Is it a sin? God say, just continue. Now you go get brain damage, not my angels. Are you getting my point? No, that's why we need to pray that prayer all the time. When they say, I'm a stranger in the earth. All right? Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances. That's how it works. So let's pray it again. Everybody, really, because you're a businessman, you're a husband, you've been having problems with your husband for a long time. Sometimes there is nothing wrong with him. There is something you just don't understand. Everybody bow your head for just a minute and say, Lord, pick that area. Give me understanding in this area. Give me understanding in this area. It may be about your business. It may be about your home. Your children are just stubborn. Your car is always breaking down. And you say, the enemies don't want me to progress. Maybe you just don't even understand the model of car you are using for your business. And there's something small. Just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm a stranger in the earth. I'm a stranger in this earth. Give me your commandments. Say, my soul is longing for your ordinances. While we are praying, I'll just read verse 21. It says, you rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. That's it. People are cursed when they wander from God's commandments. Now, let's read 22 together. Amen. said, take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Like I said, anytime he says that, it's a point of repentance if you have not been doing it. Verse 23, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your word. 24, your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. I like that. They give me wise advice. They are my counselor, your testimonies. Don't forget, we discussed last time, verse 23. David said that even when princes, people are gathering to talk about me, Lord, I will not reply them. I will be busy doing what? Meditating on the word. That is when I hear people are hanging between the earth and the heavens because of me, I will hang and read the Bible. Are you getting my point? I will kneel and read my Bible. I won't jam them. It's not necessary. Let me read it again. David said, which verse is that? 23. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. And we now read that the testimonies of God, they are my delight, they are my counselor. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now let's read this portion and then I think we can end it, even if we don't get to that verse 48. He said, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Now, please, before we go on, I'll have us read everything to verse 32. Then we can sit down and I'll explain some things. I'll read to verse 32. Then I'll explain some things. We'll read it again. I light on some things and then we can close there. All right. Verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. 26. You have answered me. Teach me your statutes. 27. Make me understand the will of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. 29. Remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. 30. I have placed your ordinances before me. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. 31 says, I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. 32. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Please sit down while I explain this and then we can close with it. The Lord is good. This is real praying. Now, I want to just take time to explain something here. And then, like I said, we can, after that, we'll just say a few more words of prayer. And then we'll close. Which verse we start from? No. I mean, the last portion that we just read now. 25. All right, from verse 25. Now, what was David saying here? You will see something that David was explaining. First, in verse 25, he said, I lie in the dust. Essentially, I am down. Are you getting my point? Business is out. I'm not making money. People are owing me. They are not paying. The whole family is scattered. There's no progress in what I'm doing. That was what he meant when he said, my soul cleaves to the dust. Then he now said, revive me according to your promise. Now remember that we said that word, thy word, is the promises of God. For example, it says that be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. Now it means therefore that if my things are not working out well, all right, I need to be brought up to the level of that promise. Right? So what was he saying there? He was saying that look at what you promised up there. You understand? Look at it up there. Look at me down here. I am far beneath the promise of God. My life is short of God's glory. That's the meaning of that. Now let me say something again. Please, as Christians, let's understand the glory of God. What I mean by the glory of God? Where you are may not be where God wants you to be. It's not a problem if you recognize it. It's a problem when you say it is a normal thing. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. When God came to the garden, he said to Adam, where are you? Simple question. Did the Lord know where he was?
Yes.
No, answer me.
Yes.
So he was not doubting it. So why was he asking? Are you getting my point? Why was he asking? Why didn't he just say, Adam, hey, I knew you were here. I just came and Adam said, Eve, he has caught us. No. He didn't do like that. He got there to where they were supposed to be. They were not there. And he called, Adam, where are you? And the answer was simple. Let me put it like this. I know where you are. I want you to realize where you are. You are not in a normal place. You need to say, that's what Adam said We heard the sound of your voice. Oh, this is the sound of your footsteps. And then we went to hide. Why did you hide? Because we are naked. What was this? What was the Lord doing? He was helping him to open his mouth and confess his situation in life. The Lord was not in doubt as to where Adam was. He just wanted Adam and Eve to know where they were. So you find out that when God asked that question, it was so that they can locate themselves. And I was saying, one of the reasons why the Lord gave us the scriptures is so that we use it to locate ourselves. Where we are is not exactly where God wants us to be all the time. That's why I say all the time, you should do self-appraisal. There's nothing wrong with knowing how far short of God's glory you are, because that helps you to pray. I remember once when I was in university, I fell ill. The one sister, I don't know what that was after, she came to visit me and I said something. She said, I've noticed that every this time of the year, you're always falling sick. You know the truth? I did not know it until she said it. She reminded me, last year, this same season, you were sick like this. The other year, this same season, you were sick like this. I don't need to tell you that next year, the same season, I was not sick again. I remember very well what I did. I remember very well. I wanted the time of the year, okay? So that if you start watching, will you fall sick at that time? Oh, I'm not going to fall sick. What I just did was, I said, is that so? So the following year, when I was praying that season, I took my Bible. We had learned the word of faith concerning healing. I was chopping the word of healing all the time until that season passed. She just pointed out to me that around this time every year, I'm serious, this kind of sickness that, if I remember, I was class captain one of those times. And I was angry with my classmates because they didn't see me for a week. And one of them looked at me and said, you have not been doing your job. I've been sick, you know? You know what they call sick? The kind of sickness that you can't get up. I had not left my room in one whole week. The first day I came to class, he said, this class captain, you haven't been doing your job. You know, trust me, next day I came to class, I went to the board. I resigned from being class captain and unilaterally appointed him. The class didn't complain. I said, I'm no longer the class captain. This guy is now the class captain. And he took the job. And he did the job till we graduated. I thank God for his life. That's how, you know, every year. So one day, the one that sister said it, I said, this thing is true. So the next season, when it was coming, I said, it will not happen. I grabbed my Bible. I said, now fight. Revive me according to thy word. This guy is not falling, sick this period of the year. And believe me, for the next few years, I remember that thing until I finally forgot it and it never happened again. So it happened. It's very important. Look, I told you before that the Bible says that the righteous man falls how many times? The Lord doesn't expect those 7 times to be on the same spot. Every time you are confessing the same sin, you need to go on a fast. Not the call fasting. Not the fasting. I will not eat until God gives me a new car. If the Lord gives you a car under such circumstances, if I were you, I won't drive it. Because that is a car, or, you know, it's called a meat car. You know they call meat car? They lost it for meat in the wilderness. No. When they say go on a fast, it means say, Lord, what is going on? Why do I stumble on the same thing again and again? I sit down and I pray. So it's important I know how far short of God's glory I am. That's what I'm trying to make, all right? All right, let's go on. So he now said that, revive me, bring me up to the level where I'm supposed to be. Now look at verse 26. He said, I have told of my ways. What was he saying? I have confessed my own ways to you. That is, I always lose money when I do business. Lord, this is how I have been doing it. It's called confession of sin. No, Christians don't understand that sin is not always this moral failure we talk about. Sometimes you need to just lay down, Lord, this is the only way I know to do things. That's the prayer we're talking about. David said, I have told of my ways. That is, I have confessed to God what my ways are, how I do my own things. I've confessed my sins to him. Sometimes we know this is wrong. Adam, where are you? We are naked. That's why we didn't come out. Why are you naked? Did you eat of that fruit? Well, this is how the eating started. Whatever it is, they admitted they had eaten. Are you getting my point? That's pathway to recovery. It's called confession of sins. And you see, as we go on. So David now said, this is my own way. But Lord, apparently my own ways are not working. The way I'm doing things is not the right way. So what's the next prayer? Teach me your statutes. That's verse 27. No, that's verse 26. He said, now teach me your statutes. The prayer continues, make me understand the way of your precepts. Remember where it began from. How did it begin? I'm down. Why am I down? It must be because of my ways, not because of my enemies. Why am I down? It's not because people don't like me. Something is wrong with me. That is why I hate these witchcraft prayers. Because you must understand what God is doing in our lives. He's not just trying to solve our problems. He's trying to make us into something. You must understand that. He's not just trying to solve a problem for you. He wants to make you into something. You must become something, not get something. So please, nobody is the cause of your problems. Let me just emphasize it again. Ever since I shook that man's hand, honestly, since that day, things have not been well with me. It's a lie. Is this witchcraft where we have turned Christianity into? My mother-in-law visited her last week. After she left, she have been falling sick. If you believe that, I don't know what to say to you. Let me just leave it like that. Do not go and meet a pastor that will now come to exorcise the room she stayed in. Let me say it to you. When you do those witchcraft prayers, mark my words, they are leaving demons behind when they go. People that came to chase out the demons your mother-in-law left in the house, believe me, they've brought another set of demons. I pray Christians will learn to live free. Please don't let anybody, I keep on saying this thing. Don't believe any liar. Because what they are doing, that they are worsening your problems. One of my friends, I was saying, his father died years ago. And I'm right here. So he was a little boy. Then he grew up, you know. Somebody was telling us that he decided to go and visit his uncle. His mother said, these are the people who killed your father. He said, I want to go and visit my uncle. They are the people that killed your father. Okay, go. But when you get there, don't eat anything. No. Don't drink anything. You hear? Okay, I've heard. What I will do is another thing, but I've heard. He got there. You are welcome. You are welcome. How are you? They put food. The guy chop him. Put drink. Drank everything. Any more food remaining? Is he getting egg? Bring it. I will eat. Cola. Bring it. I will chew cola. The guy ate everything. That's the believer. He ate everything that they placed before him. And came later. I was telling us the story. I don't mind my mother. He said, even if they kill my father, they can't kill me. He doesn't believe they killed his father anyway. He thinks all of you are not serious. He said, but even if they did, let them put whatever they gave my father down. I will eat it and show them that it's greater than my father has come. I told the story. The same person, okay, wasn't it? It was his friend that did that one. When we were in school. Somebody brought food. Other people were afraid to eat it. They said the girl must have put forget me not inside. So, campus boys, I've told you, there's nobody hungrier than a campus student. Refugees are not as hungry as students. Students are always hungry. I don't know how God did it. They are always hungry. I was a student too. We're always hungry. So he got to that room, he saw food on the floor, was surprised. You know, girls are not often hungry. I don't know. They want to maintain their weight. They're not always hungry. But boys, we were always hungry. We wake up in the morning, you are hungry. By the time you finish your supper, you are still hungry. When you are going to bed, as you are sleeping, you say, God, can I just dream of food? Because you just want to eat. This was a male hostel. And there was food on the floor. So this guy walked in. What is happening? They told him the story. One girl, I said, the girl won't marry that guy. But the guy, they misbehave. So the girl brought food. So all of them think that this girl, go catch this guy. He said, okay, it's all right. So he collected the chair, sat down in front of the food. Oh God, I thank you for children of God that have light. He did not say, if there is anything inside this food, I hereby cast it out. He didn't say that. He said, Father, I thank you for this food. One line. All this one, anything that is poisonous in our system, in Jesus' name, we rebuke it as it is written. That one, you don't believe yet. Those who really believe, once they see food, they know the length of the prayer. Father, we give you thanks. That was the beginning and the end of the prayer. The guy died into the food. Where did she put the hottest? Just tell me. Let me swallow it first. You go marry him, I don't mind. Don't worry. Let me give me the food. Oh, those are Christians. Those are believers. He ate the food. After some time, some people say, well, after all, he has married her already. No, he ate first. They can't join for back. That it was okay. He now came to our room later. This other guy who I said went to his uncle's place was my roommate. He now told that story. They were classmates, they were my seniors. Now to the guy say, don't do things like this. Next time, if you wait first, come call me. Then he say, I don't tell you, may know they do like this. You for wait. You call me, and together we'll give thanks together. Oh, the Lord is good. Oh, I was analyzing somewhere in the Psalms, right? David said, look, it's not my enemies. I am down because I don't understand your statutes. That's it. He said, teach me your ways. I have told you of my own ways. Make me understand the way of your precepts. That's verse 27. Let me know how your precepts affect me. He says, so I will meditate on your wonders. Are you getting my point here? That is, if I understand that, I will meditate. And what was he saying? That way I will change my own ways. You get my point? And use your ways. Look at verse 29. Remove the false way from me. And graciously grant me your law. At John 28. 28 said, my soul weeps because of grief. I'm down. That's why I'm weeping. Strengthen me according to your word. But that cannot happen until verse 29 is accomplished. Which says, remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. Now that I have two ways in front of me, my own way and the one the Lord has granted me. Verse 30, I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Or I like, no living there. It says, for you expand my understanding. That is, when you do this, this is how I come out from the dust that I've been lying down in. That's it. That's what that segment is saying. People of God, God is making us into something. That's what I'm saying. So if you are down somewhere today, don't pray about all those that said I will be down. Forget all those. All those. What do you do? You say, Lord, show me your ways. Grant me your understanding. Let me understand your precepts. Now, these are my own ways. This is how I've done the things I've been doing. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. So even though he's right in your eyes, still let him know, Lord, they may not be your ways, though. My friends told me that when I'm doing business, I put profit first. The bottom line is the first thing. The bottom line. Is it right? The Lord says, no. A good name is first. The Lord will say, no. Excellence. I told you I was listening to the Derek Prince. Talking about the excellence of God. Kai, that thing hit me. Boom, 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 boom. You know? You hear a word, then you just be shaking. I look, you know, Apostle, you hear some preaching. You want to stand and salute your God. Some people know Bible. Oh. Has it happened to you before? You just hear some preaching, Hi! You did look your life. See, and I call myself a preacher, and people come to listen to me twice a week. You are feeling sorry for them. They want to read some more Bible. Listen to me. This is a matter of fact. Nobody is our problem. It's a part of God we don't understand that is the issue. Let's rise to our feet and close. Let's give thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for understanding. Now, I wanted to give thanks for those so-called enemies that have been prophesying that are your problems. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because they need Jesus too. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now, thank God for freedom that you have in Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for freedom that I have in Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. For the freedom that you have in Christ. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that I have in Christ. Again, let's summarize the prayer. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive understanding.
I receive understanding.
Say, Lord, teach me your precepts. Let me know the way of your statutes, so that I might come out from the dust. Say, Lord, I confess my way. Teach me your way. I have chosen your way above my own way. Help me to walk in it. Let me never forget your law. Say, Lord, teach me your ways. I have chosen your ways. Not the ways of man.
Not the ways of
the society. Let your word never depart from my heart. Declare, say, I am being filled with the knowledge of your will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of you, Lord. I will please you in all respects. I will bear fruit in every good work. I will always increase in the knowledge of God. Give thanks again for 1 minute. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just give thanks. Give thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord is good, oh. I said the Lord is good. It is well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The peace of God is going with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And is resting inside your house.
Amen.
Fruitfulness is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus.